Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parenting Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parenting Hell with...
Can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
And can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
There we go.
Can I guess?
Yep.
Cambridge.
He doesn't say, Rob. Doesn't say where he's from. Do put where you're from now on, so we can have the guessing game.
Yes, yeah. But don't put fake accents on.
No, exactly.
That's unfair.
Love the show. I know everyone says it, but genuinely, it's kept me sane during the lockdowns. As a man on furlough, while my wife powered through, and then she's done the emoji of the punching hand and the emoji of the big bicep. Working for NHS as a donor carer. Here's my boy, Oliver, age 3.5, for your intro purposes. We have his brother stroke sister arriving April 2022, so give me time and maybe I'll send another clip for him stroke her. All right, mate.
he wants a double appearance fee.
He's double dipping, and that is from Tim. Thank you very much.
Lovely Tim. How are you, Josh?
I've got a stiff neck story.
Oh, go on.
So my daughter... went on a day out with my wife and her mum.
Yeah.
And she's quite into art, my daughter, like doing art.
Mm.
So she decided she wanted to go to an art gallery.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They took her to the Tate Modern.
Ooh. Sorry, I don't know what I'm doing that.
Do you know what, Rob?
Yeah.
That is not the art gallery to take a four-year-old to.
Why not?
Because they don't really understand conceptual art, do they? They don't understand modern art.
Yeah, but aren't the other ones all a bit boring, like National Portrait Gallery?
She wanted to see some paintings and she's looking at a bloody half a car. Do you know what I mean?
What have you been... Did you crash it? Trying to get to the petrol station. So, yes, I know what you mean. It's not... I think sometimes they're into that fun stuff. Like
yeah.
That, they want my daughter... I need to book it. It wants to go to see the... You know, that Japanese... That's her favourite. Yes, Ayumi. Fucking can't remember it. She does pumpkins with yellow and black on.
Yeah.
That's at the Tate Modern. Is that what they went and saw?
Well, I don't know. They did one floor and then my daughter said she wanted to see more pictures that were pink.
Okay, fair enough.
She said, is there any pictures of rainbows? It's like, no, of course there's not, mate. It's the Tate Modern.
Yeah, it was the wrong... But then you wouldn't get that at the portrait gallery. They're all sort of old and sort of like weird naked men.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You don't want to go in the Francis Bacon room and there's... Yeah, let's be honest... Four-year-old's not going to enjoy a gallery.
No, exactly. But it's a bit of a stiff-necked parent thing to go, oh, she asked to go to the gallery, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we actually took her to the Tate Modern. Yeah, but she hated it.
Yeah, she absolutely hated it and cried and went to Wagamama's and then bought a plastic toy that's going to go into landfill. Because that's the real truth of parenting.
They did. They went to Leon. That's where they went. They went to Leon. But they enjoyed walking over the bridge.
Yes. And she threw a wrapper in the river.
Yeah, exactly. She's got no respect.
And we told her off, but that was her favourite part of the day.
Exactly. And that's what she'll remember.
That's good, though. So she wants to go somewhere like that, isn't it? Is it good?
Well, it is, but that's probably killed it, hasn't it?
Would you rather... Are you going to try and get your kids into going to football and watch Plymouth?
I wouldn't take her to Plymouth because it's so far away. I don't want her to support Plymouth. That would be absurd. There is talk of going to Clapton.
Oh, got a little hipster local team.
They've got, like Dulwich Hamlet in the southeast.
Yeah.
Clapton Community Football Club are like that. You know, they've got, like, ultras and they've got, like... Yeah, so it's meant to be really good fun.
What about West Ham?
I just can't do that, Rob. I just...
Why not?
I just don't want her to support West Ham.
But she's from the East End.
I just don't want her to support West Ham.
Why not?
Because I hate them.
Why do you hate them?
I don't like them as a club... I don't like the ground. The ground is so completely soulless. I mean, we're getting into football chat here.
Yeah, I know, but I just when you're saying you'd want them to support a local team...
I find West Ham are the kind of team, they think they've got more of a personality than they have. Do you know what I mean? Their fans think they're a bit special. They think they've got a special way of playing. They're constantly bleating on about 1966 as if anyone gives a shit.
I mean, it would be good to get some terrible stories of taking your kid to the football too young, because that is a thing that happens a lot. They get the full kit, they take a two-year-old to the football, and the kid hates it. So if you've got any stories of kids hating football...
I remember being at Argyle, and there was, like, a kid and their parents, and there must be, like, 4 or 5, and the moment the first chance happened and the ground kind of erupted, she just burst into tears, and they just had to take her home. It was just...
Horrible. You've got to wait till they ask, I think, about 7.
When did you... My first game was Exeter City, Rob. Plymouth Argyle's greatest rivals.
Oh, I can't remember. I think I was probably about 10 or something, but my dad didn't like football, going football wasn't a thing in our house. I went to watch Crystal Palace. I got free tickets from the school.
Yeah.
And then my dad took me to an Arsenal game once when I was about 11, and then I didn't really go that often. I sort of went every now and again as like a special treat, sort of day out. But, you know, I didn't go that often. But yeah, I remember always enjoying it.
I went when I was about 7. That's when I first went. And it was all right. I didn't know what was going on because I was gutted that there was no comment. I presumed the commentary was boomed into the stadium.
You're a words man, aren't you? You're a wordsmith, Josh.
Exactly.
You love it.
Like, where's the commentary?
Can't just watch.
Can't just enjoy it.
Well, the problem is I hate going to football because sometimes listen to other people behind me. So that's why I have to be absolutely smashed out my head, so I'm the worst one.
I hate everyone at football. And I'm going to Plymouth v Charlton today, and I'm already thinking, oh, God, people.
And also, what's exciting is people, because we were recording this earlier, will know what happened in that result, so they'll be going, oh, he's going to have a terrible day.
Well, I'm going to tell you now, look up that result. I got such a shit run as a Plymouth fan. They always lose. My wife says I don't go because they always lose.
I'm going to put a tenner on them losing 3-0.
Plymouth, at the point of this recording, we haven't lost since the first day of the season, August. We haven't lost since August.
Really? Are you unbeaten in the league?
Yeah, unbeaten in the league since the first day of the season.
Invincibles?
No, we lost our first game. That was our first game.
Oh, no!
Yeah, and then since then, we haven't lost. I've never been more certain we're going to lose than today.
Have you? You've not seen them for ages, then?
This is my first game of the season.
Are you in League One?
Yeah.
Yeah, top of the league?
Yeah.
Smashing it. Look at that. 2 points clear of Wigan. Where are Charlton?
They're quite far down, but they've picked up.
They are, yeah. They're a bit shit. 17th. Well, have a nice day, and hopefully you don't lose,
yeah,
Josh.
Thank you.
It's a curse. Josh, I need to talk to you about... I am now the strongest I think I've ever been.
Oh, yeah?
Because I don't really do any... I do boxing, but it doesn't really do your strength. That's just sort of cardio. Carrying my children.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still having to carry them at points, and they're 5, well, they're nearly 6 and 4.
What?
They're too big to carry. But now, sometimes, in the middle of the night, they need a wee, and they don't really want to go, and you have to lift them out of bed. I'm carrying them through, like, the hallway, landing. I feel like a bouncer chucking out a drunk girl. They're so big. They're so long. When a 6-year-old just, like limp half asleep, they're so fucking long.
Oh, man.
And then you just carry them and have a piss and you carry them out. It's like I just keep getting flash forward to when they're like 17 and arrive pissed at the front door and you have to carry them to bed.
Oh, God.
But it's got me strong, though. I'm like I'm ripped now.
Yeah, well, good work. You're bench pressing your daughters.
And those midnight toilet runs are getting me ripped. Dad strength. I'm getting peak dad strength.
You're going to be Gary Barlow by 40.
Do you know what, mate? I'm fucking... It's looking odds on.
Is it?
It's looking... I think it's going to happen.
God.
I'm doing boxing twice a week.
Are you?
And playing football once. If I'm not working too much, I'm doing boxing twice a week and playing football at least once a week, which is good. But I eat like I'm on death row. So whenever I do exercise, I eat like it's my last meal or before I'm executed.
Yeah, you know what you need to do, Rob?
What's that?
Protein shake.
No, I don't need it. I don't need bulking up. I need slimming down.
It's not for bulking up. It just stops you then eating rubbish food after you've done exercise.
Is that what it is?
That's why I do it.
Right.
Because it fills you up with stuff that's actually going to help your muscles after exercise.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this now, Rob.
Yep, go on.
Between me and you,
yep.
Don't worry that you're going to be too ripped because you're not. There's no... No one's going.
Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah.
I'm fearing that Rob Beckett is too ripped.
Yeah, but what if I get too fit and sexy and everyone just wants... They're not going to laugh at me. They just want to fuck me. Well, you know, they're, people won't be able to concentrate at my gigs. They're like, oh, my God, I don't care what he's saying. I just want to rip his clothes off. That's the danger. And sure... You know, you can give me this advice, Josh, you can give me this advice about what I should do to get fit, but no offence intended, I don't want your body.
Well,
you're not my end goal.
I don't know what you mean by that, Rob.
Well, you're giving me advice and you are in you're very lean
I'm
and
you're
in shape.
But you're not
what I want.
Protein shakes, look at me. They don't make you too ripped.
Okay, because you've got your lean, but I want to be a little bit more beery and bulky. Like a dream bod.
Get the protein shakes going, mate.
Dream bod, Foxy from SAS. Who dares wins?
Oh, I don't know Foxy from SAS.
You must know Foxy. Come on, mate. I think Foxy's everyone's favourite. Andy Middleton's a bit more famous.
Oh, God, he's hot, isn't he, Foxy?
He is hot, isn't he? He's a hot guy.
Yeah, so you're not going to look like that?
Well, I'm not finished getting...
Look at the size of his arms.
Yeah, but he had to grow them at some point, didn't he?
Yeah.
But yeah, he is. Yes, he is very...
I'm getting mixed messages, Rob. You want to be Foxy, but you're also worried about being too ripped.
I have actually got a... What the body I want, right, yeah. is this... I want a body like a boxer, Josh, but like a sort of cruiserweight boxer.
Yeah.
I'll show you what body I want. Go to Google... Let me. I'll just send you a picture. There's a boxer called Gassiev who fought... This is weird. I've done. Why am I telling you all this? This is really weird. But should I send you a photo of a man's body that I want?
Yes, I do.
I sort of want to look like this guy on the right. That's my end goal, right? That where it's a little bit like... Not too big, but a bit muscly.
Oh, yeah. Go on the right, yeah? Yeah.
You like that?
That is a lovely body. I wouldn't say no to having that body.
A bit of air on your chest. It's not too ripped. You know. There's no... It's a sort of a six-pack, but nothing major. You know, and just really lovely arms.
Do you know what, Rob? There's a little treat. I'm going to Photoshop your face onto that when we finish this.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, we'll put it on Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's the body I want, Gassiev's body. Yeah,
and you can stick that above your Peloton.
Imagine putting your hands through that chest.
Yeah.
That's what the front row will be thinking when I'm trying to get my bloody comedy out and they're treating me like a sex object. Fucking nightmare fuel for me. Stop trying to fuck me and just listen to my words. That's what I'll be saying as I storm off stage.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Right, Josh, we need to introduce H from Steps, don't we?
Yes, this is a wonderful episode. Steps are on tour, arenas across the country. Hello, H. How are you?
Hello, how are you doing, sir?
I'm very good, very excited by this.
Josh, even though we discussed with H what he wanted to be referred to as, Ian or H, you still said it like you wasn't sure.
Well, I didn't know whether to add the words from Steps, because I only ever say the word... You know when you're like H from Steps? That feels like the full name of H.
Well, and it feels like my middle name is always From, so...
we're very excited to have you on the show, H. Thank you
from
for joining
Steps.
Us.
Bless you. I'm a super fan and I only do things now that I want to do. So I'm very, very honoured to be a part.
Oh, brilliant. Well, I was going to say that because I don't see you on much. And it's always and you're doing an arena tour with Steps. And it's always a good sign if someone's doing an arena tour and you're not aware they're doing it because it means they've sold out and they don't have to go on Sunday brunch. So I think there's a few tickets left, but you've sold well. So that means you can get away without the promotion, can't you?
There is that. Do you know what, boys, though? It's our 25th anniversary coming up soon.
And wow.
Yeah, do you know what? I mean, we were signed on a one single deal with that line dance single that will...
Five, six, seven, eight.
No signs of dying, seriously. So if you told me 25 years ago we'd still be doing it and packing arenas, I would have laughed at you. So yeah. I feel so blessed.
Yeah, on paper, it doesn't seem like an equation that would work that 25 years later you'd be doing arenas on a one single line dancing deal.
Yeah. If you put it that way, then yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, there'll be people doing music promotion degrees going, I just can't work out this one, but you have done it.
How did you first... I mean, we are going to talk to you about parenting, but how did that come about then, that signed up? Did you all just get recruited for a line dancing single?
Well, it was... and it doesn't really exist anymore. So it was a newspaper called The Stage. Yeah. And it was the way that everybody advertised for jobs, you know, where if you wanted to be a singer or a dancer, you know, go off on a cruise ship, any kind of entertainment job, they used to advertise in this newspaper. And it was out every Thursday and I used to get it. And at the time, the Spice Girls were huge. Everybody had kind of, you know, saturated the boy band market. And there was one advert in there that said about boy girl looking for, it was like sassy and sexy boy girl band members. And I was like, oh, I can do that.
I'm both of those things.
Yeah, ideally middle name From.
I'm already called From Steps. They just got to change my first name.
I mean, there was a time where I tried to shun it and, you know, and literally turn my back on the whole Steps thing. Yeah. Just because when you leave a group with such a legacy, you want to become, you want your own identity.
Yeah.
You need to be, you know, a solo artist. And everything just came back to Steps all the time. So, you know, now I've just gone, fuck it, my middle name's From.
Also, as well, it's such a strange name for a band, just Steps.
But you know why we call Steps, right?
Because of the dance moves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, dance Steps. And we were signed at basically to save the world from country line dancing. That's why we were signed. And we had other singles lined up that were very country and western based. And
really? Oh, wow.
And I still have the demos. Nobody's ever heard of them. Oh, my gosh, they're just so bad.
Well, I'm sure we'll come back to Steps at some point, but I'm far more interested about your parenting, H. Can you let us know the setup, how many kids you've got and what the situation is, H?
Okay, so I have twin boys.
Yep.
So already I'm outnumbered because I'm a single parent.
Yep.
They are nearly 6 years old now, so they'll be six next March. And wow. My goodness me, it is a roller coaster. Let's put it that way.
Twins as a single parent as well. I mean, that must be, that's intense.
Yeah, I mean, I've never known anything different, you know, so, and I always say, you know, because Lee in the band, he's just become a new dad and he has one, a little boy, Leo, and he's like, how the hell did you do it with two? But you know what? But you deal with what you're given.
Yeah.
You know, I say if I had triplets, then you just get on with it, right? And you become last in the pecking order. And you know, sometimes I don't brush my teeth. You know, sometimes I don't eat. I don't drink a cup of coffee until 4 in the afternoon. But that's what you do, right?
Yeah, well, exactly. You get on with it. I mean, I definitely think the more kids you have, the more wine you drink in the evening.
I'm a tequila man, so
shots of tequila.
So that's how you deal with it, Rob. You've just got to up the percentage of your alcohol depending on the amount of kids you've got.
Oh,
is that simple?
Absolutely. My liver throughout lockdown.
Well, yeah, so you was indoors on your own in lockdown. So did you have the childcare bubble, though, because you was a single parent? Is that how it worked?
No, well, I mean, I could have, but because my parents are of an age and they are vulnerable, so I basically spent lockdown. That was hard. I mean, luckily, I have a big garden and we did lots of things outside. I cannot even imagine how people were isolated with families in flats. I mean, I would definitely have questioned my own mental health at that point. I mean, wowzers, hats off, seriously.
Unbelievable, isn't it? And so they're six now, so they're in year one, is it year one of school?
Yes, yeah, so they've just started year one now, and they go to Welsh school, so they are fluent Welsh speakers for their age, which means I have to learn Welsh because the little buggers will be talking about me behind my back very soon.
Oh, so you don't speak Welsh?
I'm learning, so I'm a dysgwr. Dysgwr is a learner in Welsh.
And can they teach you?
Well, I understand what they're talking about at the moment. So it's just, it's very basic conversations. But I have to up my game and start going to classes again because, soon amazing. They're going to be flying.
And did you give them traditional Welsh names?
I did, actually, yeah. So one of my boys is called Maxen. Mm-hmm. And
actually, like the magazine? That got me for a few years when I was 40.
That's a straight thing, right?
Yeah, it is a straight That's a straight thing. Weirdly, my daughter's called Attitude.
Yeah, so one of my boys is called Maxen.
Yep.
And my other little boy is called Cubby.
Oh, that's a great name.
And do you know, funny, and they're both named after animals, which is ridiculous. So Maxen is named after a horse I had many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And Cubby is named after a dog, and it's Alec Jones's dog.
That's amazing.
How does that come about?
Because many years ago, I did Chitty Chitty Bang Bang with Alec Jones.
This is the greatest story I've ever heard of a kid name.
Nobody knows that, actually. We did Chitty Bang Bang together, and Alec fell in love with my dog, who was a Bichon. And basically, I went with Alid to get his dog, and he called him Cubby. You know, he said, right, we need a very regal, royal name for a dog. And the obvious one is Dewi, so Dewi Sant. He's the patron saint of Wales. But Cubby is also another saint. So that's that's basically how my child became Cubby.
Amazing. And has Alid Jones still got the dog?
Sadly, no. Oh, the dog actually
passed away. Question to ask. That was only going one way.
Josh.
I'm an idiot.
Sorry to like piss on your chips. No.
Don't bring up Alid Jones's dog that's passed away.
That was in the email before the interview. Don't bring up Alid Jones's dog.
I didn't mean questions.
And so, do you live in Wales then?
I live not far from Cardiff. Basically, I moved back to the area. I'd lived in London and North Wales. Yep. But I had an incredible relationship with my grandparents when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And I wanted my kids to have that as well. And I'm so pleased that I did. They love my parents dearly. And also I can offload my kids to my parents.
Yeah, it makes a massive difference, doesn't it?
Oh, seriously. But that relationship, that bond they have now is just, it's incredible. It's for life. And yeah, I'm so pleased I did it.
So when you're away on tour, are they with your parents or are you...
Well, the last time we went on tour was 4 years ago, and I actually took the kids with me. So I took my best friend with me, and she was basically my nanny for the tour. Mm. But that was so much easier because they weren't in school in full-time education.
Yeah.
This time it's been a minefield. I mean, I've been spinning plates, I'm juggling balls. I'm a one-man band.
Brilliant show.
Yeah, I've seen the encore. It's great. So it's been harder because also not only are they in school, it's like they've got they have football or ballet on a Tuesday, then they've got this and they've got that, and it's a birthday party. They start to develop their own social lives and schedules.
Yeah, very much so, yeah. So my parents have moved into my house and they are basically their primary carers for a month. And I have an army of friends. Yummy mummy friends that I call them. They're beautiful. You know, they're just part of my little lifelines. So they do, gymnastics, they do football, they do swimming, they do, drama. I've lined up something every night of the week, every pickup, every morning. But that's, I have to, because I just want to relieve the stress for my parents.
Do you find yourself like you're about to go on at an arena to perform to, 15,000 people, and you're having to kind of get texts about how bedtime's going and stuff like that?
Well, I FaceTime my kids because my kids don't really know what I do because I don't brainwash them with steps videos. Yeah, yeah. They think I'm an ice skater because I did Dancing on Ice. So I FaceTime them and they, I would like them to miss me just a little bit more, but they're really not asked.
Yeah, I know. But I say that to Lou all the time. I go, they asked after me. She goes, no, they've not mentioned you.
But and I was speaking to the Steps girls about it. They went, that's what you want. You want them to be happy and content and not miss you. And I was like, yes, but I just want them to say, I love you, Daddy. Yes, Daddy.
I know.
But they go on the phone and they go, hi, Daddy, I had chocolate and I'm watching Paw Patrol. Bye now.
Yeah,
and I go on to like perform to 15,000 people. Great.
Well, it's good though. They're sort of safe and like comfortable with your parents and stuff. I mean, as a single parent, there's a certain things that I know you sort of said you just get it through it, but there must be things that are much more challenging and stuff. What have you found difficult? Is it just that there isn't that other person that you can just go to all the time? Or
yeah, I mean, first and foremost is that I'm outnumbered completely.
Yeah.
It's a skill you develop when you're outnumbered, is that you can listen to two conversations at the same time, pick out words and know exactly what it's about and answer them both.
Yeah. God. And especially they're starting to speak a new language that you can't speak as well, which makes it doubly hard.
Exactly. Yeah. I often compare myself to like a daddy blue tit. This is my little analogy.
Okay.
So that daddy blue tit is flying in and out of the nest. The birds want feeding, they want love, they want attention, they want warmth. By the end of the day, he looks like he's been dragged through a bush backwards and knackered, and that's me.
Okay.
And so do they get on as twins?
What answer would you like me to say?
The truth.
No, they hate each other. Jesus.
Really?
Oh my God.
There are glimpses of loveliness. But I don't know. Do you know what? You see these parents that have, you know, these beautiful Insta stories, you know, where they're having, you know, fish and chips on blankets, you know, and build. And I'm like, no, my life is carnage. You know, I have to police every second. If I turn my head away, then one of them is bitten the other. It's ridiculous.
Also, I do think, though, your idea of the perfect sort of perfect childhood thing is a fish and chips on blankets. I would say that's obtainable, H.
Yeah.
I think you could have fish and chips on blankets.
No, yes, but, you know, watching a sunset, you know.
Oh, no, never that.
You know, nah.
I do hate that. Sunset dinner with the kids. I'm like, by that time, they're killing each other.
Oh, mine's having a dumpy on the rocks, you know.
And have they got, like, markedly different personalities? Like,
yeah, very much so. So my kids, they kind of switch as well. So one is kind of, he's very similar to me, Max is. So he's all mouth and no trousers. So, you know, he puts up, you know, he's got a big gob, but he's actually a little bit sensitive. Whereas Cubby is a very quiet and super confident. It's, you know, it's very, very different, but it switches all the time with them. So, you know, when I think I've got it, I've mastered it, they flip and then I'm like, and I'm back to square one. It's a mind.
Because it's always evolving. Once you do get a handle on it, they've changed as kids. And then, you know, in year one, they're a bit sassier now and a bit more, they think they know everything because they're learning at school. They're coming home and going, I know this, I know that and stuff like that. But they get a bit cocky.
I hadn't come across the cockiness just yet. I don't, I'm not in that ballpark yet, but it's just the things they come out with, which are so innocent and so funny. Cubby said to me the other day, he went, Daddy, I wish my Winky could stretch to the toilet because I don't want to get up. That's my boy.
That's a great line.
And of course, I don't know if you do this, you know, with your kids, but I do with my sons. So I'm teaching them to aim properly to have a wee. So we have a wee together. Mm. Right, okay. So do you know those little toilet duck, you know, discs? You kind of squish them like gel discs.
Yes.
So we put them on the toilet, top tip, and then they teach them to aim at the at the disc.
Oh, yeah.
So we're all having a wee together. And
so is it three urinals or is it one toilet you're all aiming in like a fishbowl?
Hearing and sharing kind of urinal family.
I did have there was some sort of H trough.
It's not a trough in my house, no.
There's no way I could go in that situation. I'd find that too much pressure, I think.
Yeah, I would too, having a piss of H and his two children. Yeah, that would be weird.
One of them when he went, Daddy, your willy is massive. And I went, yes, it is.
But my daughters have done that before, going like, Daddy, your bits are like a sausage. Oh, and I'm like, in the middle of a swimming pool, changing room, like, shut up.
But how do you... I wouldn't even know where to start with girls, because obviously we're blokes and we know what blokes' bits do. So that's a bit of another minefield for me.
Well, you don't have to practice aim, though. That's the beauty, because they just have to sit on the toilet.
Yeah.
So I've just thought now, because I've got a daughter and then I've got a son who's too young yet, obviously, but I didn't realise aim was a big... How difficult is it to aim your piss?
Well, when you're five, clearly a lot. Is it?
Oh, yeah, it's good. You can have piss all over your toilet.
I hadn't thought about that. Oh, yeah. No. A pissy toilet.
Always have tiles in your downstairs loo. Jeez.
Oh, no.
And obviously, they're going up. Obviously, in year one of school, I've noticed it with my daughter. They're learning about all different things and animals. They learn about families and stuff like that. Obviously, are they aware that you're sort of like a single dad and a gay dad? Has that come up in conversation yet? Or are they still a bit young to sort of, you know, acknowledge that?
Oh, no, I mean, I obviously, from the get-go, we have a different kind of family anyway. So, yeah. And there is no traditional family unit anywhere, you know.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
You know, there are rainbow families, you know, straight families, single parent families, you know, the grandparents bringing up children. So, you know, there is no, I hate the word normal, but I use traditional. There's no traditional family unit anymore. But of course, they know that our boys, so this is the conversation. Yeah. Another one. Daddy, boys can marry boys. Yes, they can. Yeah. Girls can marry girls. Yes, they can. But a pterodactyl cannot marry a T-Rex.
That's the most boy thing I've ever heard.
But, you know, when you put it like that, because they'll eat it, right? Yeah, of course they will. So,
yeah. I tell you, give him 15 years, he'll be cancelled for that view.
I didn't realise you were bringing out a bigger age.
And so did you try and take him out to different places for days out? Are you a sort of theme park and, you know, guy, or were you taking to museums and stuff like that? Or was it a bit of a combination?
Do you know what? From day one, I've been a parent that has to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Even when they were little, I mean, God, it was so, so hard. So I would, when they were bottle fed, I would sit on the floor. I'd have them both in their car seats. I'd be rocking them with their bottles in their mouths, literally crying, going,
Oh, God. Oh my word.
Questioning my mental health, absolutely. But then I'd have to get out of the house. You know,
yes.
I'm not going to question anybody's parenting because we do it differently. But sometimes I didn't know where I was going, but I would drive and get out of the...
I'm exactly the same. I'm much better with them out and about rather than indoors. I start to go
the
a bit...
The time goes so much quicker out of the house, I think. Yeah. When you're indoors, it's just... Your day can just go on and on. But, like, you've got to have some kind of thing going on, I think. That's the only way I can do it when I'm really stressed.
Even a dog needs to be walked, never mind a bloke with two kids.
But I think, you know, it's a curse and a blessing having twins. You're at the same developmental stage, so there's no reasoning. Usually when there are siblings, you know, one knows a little bit more than the other and should know better, I guess. But with twins, it's, oh my goodness me, it's carnage. But also, it's beautiful because you already have a friend for life, or they have a friend for life.
Yeah.
Or, you know, it's not like I have to go on play dates. They have each other to, and as long as I police it, they can play nicely and learn, and, you know, and I can have a little bit of respite. So, you know, anywhere I would just go out, whether it be a park, sometimes a museum, you know, if there was an exhibition that was child friendly, you know, definitely the beach near the coast. So there's so much on my doorstep that I can do. And I would be out from 9 o'clock until, you know, 5 o'clock in the afternoon every day. I have to get out.
Yeah. And if there's people listening that are like expecting twins or they've just had twins, what is there a couple of tips that you'd say that things that really helped you out with having twins that you sort of learned as they went on?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you automatically as a parent last in the queue, you know, you... Yeah. Let alone when you're a twin parent. But I'd say if you want to sit in your dressing gown and not brush your teeth until 4 p.m, then do that. You just have to look after you. If the house is like a bomb site, leave it. You know, if you need to sleep, just sleep. You have to, you know, as long as you put yourself, it's paramount, your mental health, you know, your physical health. You have to just look after yourself to look after kids.
How was the sleep? That I've just thought, like, that must be really tough with the period when... Like, were they different levels of sleeping and one's awake and then the other's asleep? Like, one baby sleeping is hard enough, but two must be.
Do you know what? Because it's a very different traditional family unit. So, you know, the time that I spent with them, it was military. I had them in a military routine. You know, they would wake up like clockwork for their bottle.
5, 6, 7, 8, teeth, bed, sleep.
You shit.
Sorry.
You had that while waiting, didn't you?
Oh, always.
Yeah, so they were in a really good routine from day one. I've never had my children in bed with me. So I know a lot of parents, you know, they have them in the night because it's just easier, you know. Whenever my children have been ill or, you know, or I've been worried, then I sleep on the floor with them in their bedroom. But I say from 3 months, my children have been 12 hours a night babies.
Wow.
I can count on one hand, since I've taken the sides of their cots down, the times that they've woken me up in the night for something.
That is astonishing.
Yeah
no, they're great kids. They're incredible sleepers. But I swear it's because I've done the tough love thing. And it's not for everybody, you know. I did the, you know, if I pick them up and they stop crying, they just wanted me to pick them up, so I put them down. You know, I did the tough love thing. And some people don't agree with that. But it's worked for me.
Yeah, well, I think that is tough doing that. We were a bit wary of doing that, but in the end with our firstborn, we had to do that because nothing worked apart from basically you just pick her up and then she just wanted to be with us. But then once we did be a bit tougher with it, and it was hard to do, but then she slept really well throughout the night and has done since. But it was, we were just going to send ourselves mad if we didn't try it.
And also with two, I think, you know, you've got to give yourself a fighting chance of them being... If they're good sleepers, that at least gives you that to aim for throughout the day. Do you know what I mean? If you're going one versus two, I think.
Oh, totally. I mean, twin parents generally don't have other children after they've had twins.
Is it like having a classic car where you walk past another twin parents and give them a nod? Like, oh yeah, well, you know.
It's like an exclusive club, definitely. Yeah. If I see a parent with twins, I go, I've got twins, I get it. So, yeah. It's like a knowing, like, nod.
Going, bit of respect. Yeah,
you're up to your knees and shit, I get it.
And you must have to buy, like, so you've got everything in duplicate. Everything you buy, you have to buy two of, basically. Is that how it works?
Pretty much, it's easier to buy exactly the same thing twice because then there's no arguments. You know, it's, yeah. And when I get, so if they get a birthday or, you know, Christmas, I'll say to people, if you're going to get them something, get them exactly the same for that reason. Because they'll just, we have, you know, they have a playroom full of toys. And they'll argue over one button, you know.
Like, the little shit one from Kinder Eggs, that little one.
Literally, the full of and it's just, it. Oh my God, it drives me mad.
Well, yeah, I have that because they're so close together. It's just a 2-year gap. They do play together, but obviously it's nowhere near as bad as twins. But we even with them being that close together, we have to get the same stuff, or it just kicks off massively.
You know what? You nearly said it, then I was gonna rip into you. we had kids close together. It was like having twins. Fuck
it's
off.
Not. No. I 100%, no way at all. The only thing you get from it is you get the benefit of what twins get, which is they've got someone to play with when they're close together. Yeah. However, you don't have to go through the turmoil of being a twin parent.
Yeah, no, but you know, like I said, there's pros and cons. You know, it's a curse and a blessing. Yeah. At least I've got it out the way in one go, you know.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm still in the thick of it. And at the moment, I decide what they do, you know, the extracurricular activities, you know, be it, you know, obviously they do swimming because that's a life skill. But pretty soon they're going to tell me that they don't want to drama or football.
Yeah.
And they might be in completely different things. And then suddenly you're bringing up two kind of opposite childhoods.
So then what happens? I have a great network of parents. So I guess that's when other parents come in. So, you know, we already do that. So I'll pick up, you know, my friend's kids and take them to gymnastics. So they'll do swimming lessons for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's, you know, it's scratching each other's backs. That's how it works.
You come across really like someone who you treat parenting like a sort of profession. It's, I feel like I'm talking to like a university lecturer about a subject or its history. Like, you know, so I know we have life skills for the swimming and the Welsh speaking and stuff like that. So have you always wanted to be a parent? Is it something you've really always wanted to do? And like, it feels like something you've really prepared for even in advance of having kids, of this is how I want to do it, as opposed to like, oh God, I've got kids. What should we do? You know,
I've always wanted to be a parent and I always had that paternal longing to have my own children. But being a gay man, when I was growing up, you know, that, you know, you literally hit a brick wall straight away. So I never thought that was possible for me. I never thought, you know, I would come out as a gay man, and now I'm openly gay.
Oh, really? You thought it would be, you wouldn't be able to, or you just didn't want to? Or...
But all of the above, because, you know what, guys, it was a very different day and age. You know, we live in a very progressive society now. It's much more accepting. There's still work to do. But, you know, every night on stage now, I live my best life. So one of my little boys, and I don't mind talking about this, and I don't know where it's going, but he likes to wear a dress. And, you know, I don't question that. Of course, if he wants to wear a dress, if my other little boy likes to wear nail varnish, you know, it's just dress up. It's just play. And then, you know, one of them likes to push his trucks around in his pram. You know, it's...
Yeah.
They can do and play and be whatever they want to be.
Yeah.
But on stage, I wear a dress now. I wear a skirt on stage.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I do it for my little boy. And I do it for all of those, you know, I don't want to say boys or girls, however you want to identify. I do it to fly the flag, you know, for that part of our community. Because I never had that when I was growing up. And I do a little speech about, you know, how a Steps concert is a safe space. And we have an open door policy. It doesn't matter how you identify, what gender, what sexuality, what color, what ability, you know, you come here and feel safe and live your best life. And it has the most incredible cheer because everybody just feels accepted a bit more.
That's great.
It's beautiful, it is. It really is.
When did you, pardon my ignorance, when did you come out as gay?
Yeah, so I actually came out, I think it was 21 when I told... my nearest and dearest. But it was actually my coming out story wasn't a great one, actually. So I had a long-term partner at the time, and I was in Steps, And I got the call off for newspaper and they were going to out me.
Oh, God.
So I was on holiday at the time and I had to fly back and tell my parents and my friends about, you know, and of course they assumed, but it wasn't anybody's story or right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it was mine. And I felt like that was I was completely robbed of that moment.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I wasn't sure of myself. I never had the confidence. I never felt safe to do that. And I was forced, my hand was forced. And, you know, once I did that, because the newspaper didn't get any quotes off me, so they couldn't run the story. So I did it, you know, under duress, really. And yeah, it was a really shitty time.
Oh, God.
That's horrible, yeah.
That's awful, isn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It's so tough. But then that's amazing that, you know, you can go through that. But now on stage, you can wear a dress and say that speech and there'll be kids that would have been you at that age worried about that kind of stuff and concerned and can see you doing that. So, it, you know, it's great to see you making a difference.
Those conversations need to start in schools and at home. So, of course, I teach my children about diversity and equality and acceptance. And but they still come home. You know, there are conversations in the schoolyard. And one of my boys came home and said, Daddy, girls wear pink and boys wear blue. I was like, well, no, we can all wear whatever colour.
Yeah.
So the next day I made a point of going to school head to toe in pink just to prove the point.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah.
And certainly you may notice I've got my nails painted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is part of my tour costume, but I do it for one of my little boys because he loves playing with nail varnish.
Yeah.
And just making things, just small changes, you know.
Well, yeah, because I did a drag episode, Rob and Romesh, where we did full drag and did a full show.
I saw
show.
That. Oh, my gosh, yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I was crap, but I loved it and enjoyed it. And I know, and then someone went to me, oh, like going to pick your kids up from school. And then you did drag on the telly. I went, yeah, I think that's a positive more than,
yeah,
you know.
Totally.
And I think that's why, you know, me and Romesh wanted to do it as like straight blokes of doing that on the telly and then my kids seeing that. And it's like, oh, yeah, Dad wore a dress. And it doesn't matter really if you want to wear it or not. It's not such a big deal. But I think 10, 15 years ago, some people might go, I won't do that in case my kids see it. Kind of, you know, that kind of thing where it does feel it's shifted slightly now where it's like, you know, it's just a different art form to explore as opposed to, oh my God, it's a bloke in a dress. So I think by showing that on screen, it does make a difference. And especially you at your shows for your boys.
How did it feel wearing the dress?
Do you know what? I quite liked all the getting ready and going out in it because it just felt like you were someone different.
I do me, yeah.
Breastplate, the full works. I look pretty good, to be fair. Do you know what's weird, though? It's like, what I liked about it was I express myself through stand-up, so I go out and do that, right? So I totally get why people use drag to express themselves. But what I've said to Romesh, what I'd quite like to do is, rather than do a drag show, I'd like to get dressed up like that and just go out for a night out. Just go out for drinks and dinner. That I would enjoy that more than the performing of it all, just as a fun thing to do.
Do you think you'd get recognised?
I think me and Romesh, we would, especially...
Well, you've both got beards now.
Yeah, I know. But I found that more fun than the actual performance, just being in drag. I found it quite...
Did you have a name? What was your drag name?
I was... he was called Ruby Banger Nathan. And I was Rusty Beaver, Toofy Diva.
Josh, what would your drag name be?
Just Josh, I think it's fine.
Josh Wiener.
Just Josh.
Josh Wiener Widdicombe and Sexy Sister.
Do you know what they did? But at my nursery, we got an email because there was like, some of the kids wanted their nails painted and they were like, oh, loads of the, like, they were like, are we all right to paint the kids' nails and stuff because the kids want their nails painted? And they were, in brackets, they were like, but obviously it's boys and girls because a lot of people get that email and presume that it's just the girls that want it.
Yeah.
But loads of the boys were like, really excited about having their nails painted and stuff.
It's just exploring. It's
yeah,
just
exactly.
Playing. And, you know, in a traditional family setup, there is a mum and they'll see their mum's nails painted and they want to do that. They want a copy. So.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to ask you about was that you went down the surrogacy route for your boys. Mm-hmm. Could you, like, in layman's terms, sort of explain how that sort of works? Are you comfortable going through that? Just because I don't know and I'd like to learn and I'm sure a lot of the listeners might be in a similar boat as well.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I guess my surrogacy journey started because the adoption route failed for me. So my then partner at the time, we went down the adoption route and we were quite far down the line. We'd done all the courses, we'd had all the checks. You know, it's quite an intense, exhausting process. And, you know, emotionally it was exhausting because you actually had to bring up quite a lot from the past. Yeah. You know, they were quite intrusive. And I was going to say rightly so. I mean, they need to know certain things about your past, you know, to form a well-rounded picture of why you want to be a parent. But that route just wasn't right for us. So it was at that point that I started talking about surrogacy. And it was probably a good 10 years from initial thought of going down the surrogacy route to actually having my own physical children. It was quite a taxing process. Okay, so it's kind of like almost like a dating app. So you get matched with a surrogate, and then you are matched with an egg donor. So you can choose an egg donor. Obviously, I have tadpoles. Yeah. So they need to.
Yeah, that's that side sorted.
Yeah, they go. So we're all good there. Yeah. So you can choose an egg donor to fit your family makeup, so your own family background.
Yes.
What do you think me and Rob would be fetching egg-wise if we were to sell our tadpoles?
You look like a fucking hedgehog at the moment, so not much.
What's going with my hair? I was just trying to make myself look taller. I spied my hair up.
And I imagine as well, you want the child to resemble you as much as possible. So it makes sense to go, if you are like blonde hair and blue eyes, you'd get an egg donor that's blonde hair and blue eyes. That's what my instincts would take me to if I was doing it.
Yeah, I mean, traditionally, that's the way. Some people, it doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
So that's what I was looking for, you know, children that kind of fit my own family background.
What kind of details do you get? Like, how much info do you... Because you get their physical...
So you have everything. So, you know, you have the medical history as well. So you also have... You pay more if the egg donor has a high IQ, if they've gone to university level or a master level.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, very much so.
Wow.
So I had a separate donor and a separate surrogate.
Mm.
So I was screened for everything as well because my biology was being put into, you know, into a surrogate. So, you know, the process is, it's quite intrusive. It's very expensive.
Yeah.
So my children were born in the US because the laws are very different in America to the UK. So in the UK, so say... Rob, you and your missus had my sperm and another egg, and they were cooking.
Yeah.
Then you would be classed as parent one, and your wife would be classed as parent two.
Okay.
So I would have no rights at all over that child. Even
really?
It's part of
though, because basically it's sort of growing in my wife as a surrogate, but it's the donor and your stuff in there. I would be the parent, even though there's nothing to do with me whatsoever.
Even if it wasn't Lou's eggs, if it wasn't anything to do with it, so it was a donor, you still would be parent one, parent two. I would have no rights.
God. So then how does that change?
So it changes when you go to America. So that's the process. You can actually become parent one and parent two from 3 months in the womb.
So you can do that in America. You can't do that here.
Very much so, yes.
So then that gives you a sense of security, doesn't it, over what, you know?
But very much so. But, you know, they're very different legal processes. But this one was more comfortable for me. It just sat right with me.
Yeah.
And did you go over to America for that period?
Yeah. Not for the whole period. So there were many failed attempts for various reasons. You know, I know more about women's ovulation cycles than women, I tell you what.
Best quote of the show.
We were talking about this in the tour bus the other day with the girls, and I was like, I know more about your menstrual cycles.
I don't want to mansplain, but I know a lot about this, guys.
The menstrual cycle. the process was kind of hit and miss for very various different reasons. Egg donors didn't match. Eggs weren't fertilized. Embryos weren't good enough. Surrogates weren't, you know, didn't. So many different factors. But eventually, I ended up with two beautiful little boys.
Amazing.
So, you know, all the pain, amazing. All the heartache was worth it.
Oh, brilliant.
This is a weird question. Are you at the birth in that situation? Like,
well, my surrogate... she was 38 weeks. So yeah. I'd flown out because she had 2 weeks left.
Mm.
So I'd flown out for a 2 week holiday. I was like, and this is the last holiday. I was there on my own. And I was like, I'm really going to enjoy this. Booked, you know, a really bougie apartment, you know, massages, you know, beach, pool. The day I got there, I had taken a melatonin because I wanted to get over the jet lag.
Yep.
And I had slept then through 30 missed calls. I woke up with a knock at my door going, your wife is having a baby.
You're like, where?
And literally, I was like, fuck. So I threw myself out of bed. It was like a movie. So I called a taxi to take me to the hospital. The taxi took me to the wrong hospital, called another taxi, got to the right hospital, walked into one of those gowns, and I literally saw my children being born that second.
Brilliant. Oh, amazing.
That is brilliant.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, I was, because it did come early, I was on my own across the world with two helpless little people going, oh, my God, what do I do now?
And you literally have them immediately, don't you? Is that's great? Yeah, straight away.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, my boy surrogate is very much part of my children's lives, you know, on a daily basis. So, you know, it's not like, you know, she's not part of us anymore.
Yeah,
you know,
so what involvement is that? Is it just sort of is it almost like keeping in contact like an auntie or a godmother type of thing?
We have a non-traditional family, you know, they know that, you know, they don't fit the norm. So from day one, they know, you know, about their auntie. So, yeah, very much so.
Okay, lovely. That's not annoying. The donor, though, just the surrogate. It's sort of you've done it that way.
Yes. They're very different. So donor and surrogates are very different.
Oh, brilliant. So, yeah, sorry for so many questions, but I find it fascinating. I think we have a lot of people that have requested different types, you know, non-traditional parenting and the ways of, you know, conceiving and having children. So it's been absolutely amazing to hear about it.
Well, I appreciate it because, you know, for somebody like myself, who never thought I could have children, you know, to have this visibility on a podcast like this is, it's incredible. So thank you.
Oh, no, thank you. It's genuinely been amazing.
And really funny as well.
Yeah. Long time ago that we were talking about steps, doesn't it? Bloody hell.
Now we're talking about Funky Spunk. I mean...
Which was the other name for the band they were going to go for, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Finally, we've got my drag name, Funky Spunk. Thank you so much. It's
Cheers,
been an absolute pleasure. The tour continues. So where's the tour at the moment? Like,
we're in Manchester. We're kind of a quarter of the way through now. So we're in Manchester at the moment.
Oh, so it's Manchester tonight. And then you've got a few more, loads more dates till the end of the year. And obviously the new album's out as well. What the Future Holds, part two.
Yeah, go on, name a song off it. Go on, what's your favourite step song?
My favourite step song?
Tragedy.
That new one, that number two on the album. I'll be honest, I've not listened to the new album, but I'm a big fan of Tragedy, obviously.
Okay. I
know that's not what you want to hear, H.
No, that's fine. What amazes me is that people seem to work that into their first wedding dance.
Because also, I'd say the Steps fans are like fans you've never seen before. They are committed, aren't they?
Yeah, very. But, you know, we've been around 25 years now. And when I look out into the audience, we have multi-generations there now. And it's so beautiful to see. So, you know, our fans who were children first time around, their parents didn't mind bringing them to a Steps concert because secretly they liked it.
Yeah.
And now those children have children. So there's three generations. It's great. It's beautiful.
Oh, it's brilliant. Well, yeah, so you're in Manchester and then Aberdeen, Belfast, Liverpool, Leeds, Glasgow, Brighton, and at the O2 in London at the end of November. And then you finish it, or you do Cardiff, then finish it in Bournemouth. I bet that was annoying. Did you want to finish in Cardiff?
Yeah.
Are you going to do Cardiff from home, or are you going to get a hotel in Cardiff, or are you going to do it from home with...
Well, do you know, at the moment, it's tough because we're in a bubble.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, one goes down. That's a lot to lose out on.
Oh, God, yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, the implications and logistically, you know, masterminding a tour is a minefield. So, you know, if one of us goes down, then, you know, it's the fan. So that's why we have to be super careful. We're testing every day.
Yeah.
Nobody else comes in and out of our bubble. I have a day off today. I'm in my dress, in my room, talking to you. So, yeah.
No wonder you wanted to speak to us. You got no one else to speak to. You're absolutely desperate at the company.
H, you've been absolutely amazing.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much, H.
Thank you, boys. Honestly, that was a baller scream.
Oh,
thank
brilliant.
You.
Thanks,
cheers,
mate.
H. Thanks. Cheers, bye.
Bye.
Good luck to all.
That was Ian, H from Steps Watkins.
Do you know what? I thought I was going to like H from Steps.
Oh, mate.
But what a fucking geezer he is.
What a legend.
I loved him. So positive, weren't he?
Did not disappoint, did he?
No.
And do you, the biggest surprise, Rob, I am so surprised you haven't met H from Steps before. That has blown my mind.
I was looking at him going, I'm sure he's done the jungle. How has he not done the jungle? A lot of money in Steps. I thought that was really good. He's so engaging and funny and really interesting.
Yeah, really loved him. What a great guy. Do you know, I don't say this often, Rob.
Oh, go on, here he is.
That was one of my favourites.
Was it? Blimey, I better check it out. You never say that. I think you just really like doing this show.
I don't hand out that honour lightly, but I had a lovely time.
Yeah, we'll see you on Tuesday for another catch-up episode.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, guys. Bye.
Bye.